Welcome back. We are into our third and final hour. Nice to have you here. I'm Jim Rome, live in Southern California. And this program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. The telephone number is toll-free. I've got a player profile for the Smack Off, which is coming up in about 20 minutes. In the meantime, if you're on hold, stay there. If not, I do have a phone number. You can use it, 1-800-636-8686. We start hour number three by running down a friend of the program. He is also a writer at large for NBC Sports. He is Tim Layden. Tim, it's great to have you back. And before we get into what I consider this great piece that you've done on NBCSports.com right now, how are you and everybody around you, Tim, doing during this pandemic?
We're good, Jim. We live in New England in a fairly rural area, so we've been lucky. We can get out. We can ride bikes, go for a run. Got some crappy free weights that have been lying around for years, so it's been okay. We're luckier than a lot of people, and nobody real close to me has gotten real sick, so I'm thankful for that.
Very good. Tim Layden is joining us. Now, Tim, you've been covering sports for decades. Normally, you and I, if we're talking in May, we're talking about the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. What's it been like to not have sports to cover for the past 2 months?
It's been, probably, Jim, the same way it is for a lot of people. You know, I mean, it's like there's nothing to do at night for watching, but for me, it's also, you know, during the day when you're looking for things to write about, you got to go way outside the box and think about things that happened a long time ago or things that may happen a long time in the future or how this situation with the virus is impacting sports. And, you know, thinking outside the box is always good, but it does get old. And, you know, I think like everybody else, I'm ready to have something that's current to write about instead of things that are hypothetical or old. And, you know, but you got to be patient at the same time.
We're talking to Tim Layden. Now, the piece on NBCSports.com has the headline, "Sports are coming back, but they'll never be the same." And you open it by writing about the image of Michael Jordan walking off the court after the 1998 Eastern Conference Finals. You have fans leaning out trying to get high five. What was it about that image that caught your attention?
It was just, you know, Jim, I don't think any of us would have thought any of it in any other time, but it just, I knew I was working on this story, and like everybody else, I was watching the Jordan doc every Sunday night, you know, wire to wire. And I saw that image, and he was coming off, and it was all these people, old people, young people, men, women, holding their hands out into the tunnel. And we've all seen like a million shots of athletes walking either down a tunnel to a field or back through a tunnel to the locker room. And it's a really common sports image, but I just thought, you know, we're not going to be able to do that anymore, not in the near future. And you know, the question I tried to answer is, are we ever going to be able to do that again? And how are athletes going to feel about it? And I just, it just looked to me like something that looked like a time capsule. I just thought, nobody can see around the corner of the situation we're in. You know, we can guess and we can interview people, but my gut feeling was that you're just not going to see an athlete reach up and high five a spectator walking off the court ever again. Athletes are germophobes. They take care of themselves. And I just think we've all learned that that's one area of risk that can be cut out. Mm. And that's what it looked like to me.
We're talking to Tim Layden. Tim, you also made the point that we need sports, but at the same time, it's also important to ask the question, if we do need sports, is it because it's a useful exercise? Or lay that out for me. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I meant was, you know, I mean, I make my living in sports. You make your living in sports. We not only want it, we kind of need it.
Right.
And really need it. But you go one step away from us to someone who's just a fan, I'm sure they feel like they need it too. And it's a big part of all our lives. But I do think, like, every day as I've been working on things and trying to figure out when sports are going to come back and other things to write about, I found myself thinking, you got to be careful here because a lot of people have died. And a lot of people have had to change their lives. And it's been this incredible disruption to everybody in America and a lot of places in the world. And I just think it's useful to sit back and say, man, I really would like to see the rest of the NBA season. I really want to know if the Lakers can win this thing. But at the same time, I just think that for anybody who's a really avid sports fan, there's a lot of value in stepping back every once in a while and saying, you know, how important is it really? You know, like just, and I'm not saying it isn't a big deal because it is, But at the same time, I just think it's good to, no pun intended, take our temperature once in a while and figure out, you really want to see this stuff, but what's important right now? And both things can be true. Sports can be important, and other things can be more important. And that's, I'm just trying to keep my own finger on that pulse all the time.
It's really interesting, isn't it, Tim? Like, for instance, after this happened, sports were not important, and then it seems like they were more important. But you're right. We need to keep our finger on the pulse and decide just how important. You were part of the coverage of sports before and after September 11th. In what ways does this feel similar, and in what ways is it different in your mind?
To me, there's two big ways, Jim. The first is, I mean, terrorism won't ever end. It's always going to be a part of the world. It's been that way for centuries. But 9/11 as an event ended. You know what I mean? It was over, and then we could go on. You could take your anger and your grief and all those things and channel them into the world, knowing that we were trying to do things to prevent this from happening again, but that singular event ended. It hasn't ended. It's changed, and it's interpreted different ways, and maybe we're seeing some light at the end of the tunnel, but we're worried about what might happen next winter. So it's just kind of doggedly pursuing us. And so that's a huge difference. The other difference is, as we try to, and this is more, you know, more of a third rail thing, as we're trying to figure out how to go forward with this, we're not all on the same page. In 9/11, we were all on the same page. We all knew, let's get together. Let's wave the flag. Let's realize that our country's been attacked, and we got to get together on this. And whatever that takes, that's what we'll do. With this one, we're not all in agreement with what it takes. And, you know, Americans as a country do really well when we're all on the same page. But when we're not on the same page, it's harder to move forward and figure out what the best steps are. And when we're fighting with each other, sometimes that's a really good thing because it gets us to creative places, and sometimes it's tricky. And I think those are the two biggest differences.
Tim Layton joining us, a writer-at-large for NBC Sports. So, Tim, Major League Baseball, of course, has developed a 67-page document outlining health and safety procedures that are required or at least recommended to restart the season. When you consider some of the items on that list, like no high fives, they're recommending no showering at the facilities, guys not sitting next to each other in the dugout, how different will the game look? And has that also changed forever?
I think some of it is going to stick. I mean, Jim, honestly, one of the things that this isn't one of the most important things there. I think people can get, I think major league athletes, if they have to go back to the hotel to shower, they're going to get used to that because they did that when they were kids. You know, I mean, we all revert to how sports were when we were kids. That one doesn't seem to be hard. High fives and handshakes, I think half the athletes in the world would just as soon get rid of that anyway, because like I said earlier, they kind of know that that's not the greatest thing in the world to do unless it's with people you know and you go wash your hands afterwards. I immediately thought I can't picture a baseball game without people spitting. You know, that one really,
right.
That one hit me right between the eyes, and it's a small thing, but you know, it jumped out at me. Like, I don't know how you legislate that out of baseball or almost any sport, but I do think that a lot of those changes that are for now, you know, fans are going to come back. We don't know when or how, but fans will come back. But things like handshaking and high fives and the stuff, you know, with fans, you know, like moving up to the side of the dugout and posing for a selfie with a family, or at football training camp posing for selfies with 100 fans. Maybe it's going to be a personal choice for athletes, but I just see athletes saying, I know that there's more risk in this than I realized. And I'm just going to easily cut that out of my routine. And I think in that way, that's going to look different. And I think we'll get used to it.
So Tim, does that mean that the autograph is also done?
Maybe. There might be ways around that, you know, like one doctor suggested, you know, make sure the athlete keeps his own Sharpie, you know, don't take a pen or a Sharpie from somebody else. But then you're also in that situation where the athlete is like, you know, 6 inches from hundreds of fans and they're breathing on each other. And again, I think we'll back off and go more towards normal, but I don't think we'll go all the way back. That's the thing that's uncertain. But the experts I talked to said that some of them have worked with major league teams and organizations, and they've pretty well decided that kind of heavy, real close personal interaction between fans and athletes or fans and coaches is just something it's just going to move back. And whether it goes away entirely, we just don't know yet. It really could be up to individual athletes, but they're going to realize better now than before that we can make each other sick. And if it's a cold, we can deal with that. If it's a virus that people die from, maybe not. Most things are in the middle. But I just see athletes deciding to mitigate their own risk a little bit.
We're talking to Tim Layden. So it makes you wonder, right, Tim? Like, it's not about you or about me or about our business. But when you look at what you've done over the course of your career, and again, not looking to make it about yourself, but some of the best stories of your career have been very personal in the sense that you had close physical proximity. You had lunch with Usain Bolt in Jamaica. You had dinner with Pat Tillman in Tempe. You visited with Lindsey Vonn. Like, what is it about those conversations that makes them so special? And will you be able to do that going forward?
You know, Jim, you've been interviewing athletes your whole life, too. You know that there's a difference between whether it's Chris Long or somebody like that calls into your show. That's a great interview. But, man, there's nothing like sitting next to somebody and having those conversations and getting in a car and going to a workout. And, back when this first started, there was this big thing about media being whiny crybabies that they don't get to go in locker rooms anymore. I mean, I think that's gone for good now. But those little interactions where, I wrote in that column that I ate a meal with Michael Phelps and with Pat Tillman 18 years apart, basically on the same footprint in Tempe. It's a different place because Tempe's been totally bulldozed and rebuilt in the interim. But, both of those interviews were just incredible because I was sitting like 18 inches from somebody who was really interesting. And you can't get that on a phone, and you can't get that on Skype, and you just, it's just not the same. And I hope it doesn't go away. I hope there's a way to make those things continue. Not because I want people to love the media, but, those are the kind of stories that people really appreciate. And, we're people that want to be around other people, and I just hope we can preserve some of that. But I do think there's going to be a period here for weeks, months, or years where everybody's a little sketchy about that, and they probably should be, but I hope some of that comes back.
You're so right. Tim Layden joining us. Tim, before you go, you mentioned Pat Tillman. As you think back to Pat and you think about the time you spent with Pat, what do you remember most about that time you spent with Pat?
Just that Pat lived life with no filter. Pat, I asked Pat questions that he didn't have to answer, and he answered them straight up. And I asked him questions about his physical abilities, and he didn't exaggerate. He was self-deprecating where he needed to be, and he was confident where he needed to be. And he was just a no BS human being, Jim. And there's like a really small number of those in the world. And when you have a chance to be around somebody like that, it never leaves you. And that's why every time I see Pat's name somewhere, it just makes me feel fortunate to have known the guy and sad that he's not with us anymore.
Tim, he was so larger than life. I feel so naive, but I've made this statement a number of times. I always assumed he would come back. I always assumed that he would return home. I didn't think that he would necessarily tell us about the experience entirely or the thought process, but I always assumed he would come back, and it was just such a naive thing to think. Do you remember what you thought or what crossed your mind when you heard he had been killed?
I was just kind of the same thing because I wondered why he went as far as he did to leave the world of the NFL and the money he was. I mean, I kind of knew why, but I wondered, there's so many ways that Pat could have changed the world without putting on that uniform and picking up that gun and going into what he went into in Afghanistan. But that was the way he worked. And just like you, I thought, well, he's going to come back and he's going to do amazing things. And he's just got to get through this. He was Superman. And Superman, Superman doesn't die like that. And, I've come to know people that were with Pat when all that happened. And, it's just such a huge shame the way it all went down. And it would have been horrible no matter how it happened. But I just, for a guy that I didn't know that well, but you didn't have to catch what he was about, I just missed that the guy's not with us.
You know, I've been trying to make that point similar to that, Tim, for so many years, and I think that you made it better than I ever have. Before I let you go, let me come full circle. There's no way you can come on in May, and you and I can't talk horse racing at all. So, Tim, what do you make of the revamped Triple Crown schedule this year? Because within the sport, there's already been very energetic reaction to that. What are your thoughts?
I mean, there's no Triple Crown this year. It's just three races that have those same names, and I think the Derby will remain a big deal this year, although it's going to have an asterisk because it's not in May. The Belmont isn't the Belmont. It's just a – it's like the Peter Pan or some other Belmont race, and it's fine. And I wish they had gone to a mile and a quarter. I don't know why they had to pull all the way back to a mile and an eighth. And the Preakness is just a race that follows the Derby, and I hope they're all successful. Maybe they can have some fans, but it's you call it a Triple Crown, but you know don't call it the Triple Crown because it's not, and that's okay. This year's different. Everybody's making compromises in their life that are much bigger than rearranging some horse races, but it's not the Triple Crown. It's something different, and maybe next year we get back to something more normal.
I'm trying to let you go, Tim, but if it's not the Triple Crown, and I agree with you, it's not the Triple Crown, but if it's not the Triple Crown, then would a World Series in an 82-game season not be a World Series? Would an NBA championship in a shortened season not be an NBA championship? I guess we should have these things before we consider these things, but how should we see these things?
Well, I mean, I think we've had shortened season in you know, strike shortened and other labor things that have shortened, and we still have a World Series, like you said. We still declare an NBA champion. But I think the Triple Crown is different because what makes it the Triple Crown is partly the season of the year because these are young horses still learning to run. So it's a huge ask of them to go a mile and a quarter in Kentucky in front of 160,000 fans, come back in 2 weeks and go a mile and 3/16 in Baltimore, 120,000 fans, and then go to Belmont and go a mile and a half 3 weeks later. It's the spacing and the timing of those three races that make it special. And when you mess with that, it's just if you change the distances or something like that, then maybe you give them some leeway. But, you know, circumstances have ruled what they could do here, and it's out of their hands. But once you change that timing, Jim, and it doesn't build to the Belmont to a mile and a half in June, it's something completely different. It's not a shortened NBA season. It's like no NBA season at all. It's not the same, and I just don't think you can make that comparison. It's just not. It's too different. It's too far beyond what the norm to call it a Triple Crown.
Agreed. If it's safe and it's right and you run the races, that's fine. Bring it back, but don't call it a Triple Crown because that's not what that is. He is the excellent, excellent writer at large for NBC Sports. Very good friend of the program. He is Tim Layden. Tim, I appreciate you so much. Stay safe. Really good to have you on the show, Tim. I hope we can do it again really soon.
Thanks, Jim. You too.
Tim Layden. And if it sounds like I have immense respect for him, it's because I do. Essentially, all of us in the business do. My thanks to Tim Layden. All right, when we come back, again, you can respond to anything you've heard so far. And when we come back, it is time for another Smack-Off player profile. This one's different because this guy won the event in 02. He was last in the event in 2011. Yet despite those two things, I'm still willing to give him his own player profile. That's how big a mark he made in the jungle and on the big stage for that big show. Jeff in Richmond gets the player profile treatment when we return.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You want to be prepared for Memorial Day, right? Then make sure that you try the new Pepto-Bismol Chews. The great tasting way to get the same fast relief that you know and love from Pepto-Bismol. You can enjoy all that grilling worry-free. Use as directed. Keep out of the reach of children. Great to have Tim Layden back. And you listen to him, and it sounds like some things are going to change, and they're going to change forever. All right, then. checking out the call screen here. I mean, a lot of what he said, you imagine, like, some of those things will never be the same ever again. Maybe you don't get selfies again. Maybe you don't get an autograph ever again. Maybe you never get that kind of close proximity with an athlete ever again. You know, I think a lot of people think that this is temporary, this too shall pass. And this too shall pass, probably, but some of this won't. And some of this is going to change forever. All right, the phone lines are jammed, all of them. And I will get to that in a minute. But we are now 30 days out from Smackoff 26. So I can officially say we are now inside 1 month until the big show. In the lead up to the main event, I've been profiling the field so you know exactly what you're in store for come June 19th. So far, I've done deep dives on Leff and Laguna, Caleb in Green Bay, Rick in Buffalo, Mark in Hollywood, Jeff from Southfield. Today, I'm going to throw it back. Throw it back to a guy who has legendary status around here. A guy who frankly needs no introduction. A guy that you can name just by hearing him say my name.
Jim, if you'll indulge me for a brief moment. Jim, thank you for your time, Mr. Jim Rome.
That is the immortal voice of one Jeff from Richmond, your 2002 Smackoff champion. A guy whose Smackoff career started two decades ago, but has not been heard from on game day since 2011. None of that matters, because once a champ, always a champ. And in 2018, Jeff from Richmond came back from a hiatus that was so long, I legitimately thought that he was gone. Like, gone, gone. But shame on all of us for ever thinking that, because he came back, not the day of. Well, he did come back the day of, but didn't make it on day of. But he came back in season. And he came back with an epic five-minute call that was nearly perfect until he produced an all-time drop by flubbing my second son's name in hilarious fashion.
War Jake and Rogan, Rome helping revive the Rat family.
War Jake and Rogan,
Rome helping revive the Rat family.
Rogan Lome. Besides that minor hiccup, Jeff from Richmond was everything that we all remembered on that call. And trust me when I say this, no one is more polarizing than this guy. No one. Just like nobody gets more reaction when this guy calls, even to this day. The tweets and emails flood the studio whenever we hear from Jeff. Half of the reaction is glowing praise for a legend. The other half is pure, uncut, unmitigated, unadulterated hate from clones who wish that he really was gone. Gone. And never came back. But if you ask Jeff himself, and he will tell you everybody loves him.
The outpouring of love and affection and respect, Jim, from the biggest gaggle of misfits in the history of sports talk radio. Jim, it's been overwhelming. Not one negative comment.
Not one. Not only does Jeff insist that you all love him, he also insists that the brass around these parts love him as well.
The CBS suits in their microfiber polyester attire have gravitated to Jeff from Richmond at an alarming rate, Jim. And I don't know if you heard the recent remarks, Jim, by CBS Sports VP of Operations Tyler Hale, Jim. They went something like this. Well, Jim, that new clone, that Jesse from Richmond, is quite a rascal, and I'm really looking forward to hearing Jesse call in at the Jim Rome Smackdown on July the 20th.
Dude, none of the suits in New York sound like that. Tyler Hale especially does not sound like that. But the fact that he pulled that guy's name was unbelievable. Jeff is more known for hyping himself than he is for taking runs at other people. He's too busy hyping himself to concern himself with other people. But that doesn't mean that he can't, and it doesn't mean that he won't. He once famously went in on the women of Southern California in an epic rant that still will not be forgotten.
All the SoCal Insta skanks that are desperately trying to build their quote-unquote brands on social media. Hey, skanks, do us all a favor. Stop digitally altering and enhancing your images on social media. Stop injecting massive amounts of collagen and Botox into your grills and your pie holes. Stop pounding out your beaks multiple times. Stop augmenting your racks 3 and 4 times to achieve, quote, perfect symmetry. And most importantly, skank, stop laying down with every dude you meet just because he drives a slick sled and has a big roll of cake in his pocket. Give me the grace and the dignity of the women from the South 6 days a week and twice on Sunday. And by the way, Jim, if you take a SoCal skank that's an 8 in the great state of California and you drop her into the Commonwealth of Virginia, Jim, the 804, she immediately becomes a 3.
It's incredible. Jeff from Richmond is a walking, talking, professional wrestling promo. And it is incredible. No one plays the character of unabashed, arrogant, braggadocious, blowhard better than Jeff. And he loves it. He loves it as much as you all will hate it. I don't know if this guy shows up on the 19th or not. I just know that the Smack Off was created with people like that in mind. Put simply, Jeff in Richmond was born for this event.
Jim, thanks for the vine, and thanks for the time. The dirtiest player in the game has come back to the Jim Rome Show. Why is Jeff from Richmond so serious about becoming Jim the two-time Smack-Off champion? Because that's how I roll. My exclusive private driveway. I was looking out, Jim, at my 6 luxury sleds, sparkling clean, freshly polished, and perfectly aligned. And I know the two words that come to mind immediately, Jim, when you think of Jeff from Richmond are humble and modest. Or Matt from L.A. struggling to be relevant in this here jungle. Here's the new protocol in my jungle, Matt, and that is this. When my name goes up, Matt, your mouth goes shut. Jeff from Richmond has established himself as the only legitimate sports radio god. King Kong ain't got nothing on me. This is my yard. This is my house. And clones, trust me, I'm not coming to take part. I'm coming to take over. And until next time, Jim.
Good night now! If Jeff shows up, if he can snatch the Smack Off, it'll smash the record for most years between titles. Remember, he won this thing back in 02. That title can vote, go to war, smoke cigs. How amazing would it be if he ran that thing back 30 days from right now? Here's hoping he at least tries. Here's hoping he tries and makes it to air. All right, speaking of the Smack Off and being involved, I've got a way for every one of you listening to get involved and get some TV time, and I will tell you how that is when we come back. Do you think Jeff in Richmond's going to call that day? Do you think he's getting on? Do you think the call is going to be any different than the one he made in 02? Put it this way. I keep telling you, make sure I want to take your call. When I went through the archives and I set that thing up like that, it made me want to hear from the guy again. That makes me want to take his call. I don't know if he's going to make that call or not. When we return, I'll hit a few of your phone calls, and I'm going to let you know how you can take part and be on TV. Adam Hawk, in fact, will let you know, and we'll do that next. But first, here's a sports update for you. Here's... ATP. Time to answer your question. Were you asked the pros? You submit it to me. I read it. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. This says, with all the Chuck E. Cheese talk, I'm curious what your go-to pizza delivery move is. John in Oregon. Great question. Do you know what? Unless you're from the area, John, you would not know these places. I reside in Orange County, which, for those of you who do not know, is just south of Los Angeles. So we've got some local spots that we hit. I hit Lamppost. Lamppost is big because that's where we'd go after the kids play baseball. It's a big baseball haunt. Lamppost works. Gina's is good where I live. Pepino's is good where I live. In terms of the chains or a bigger outlet, Roundtable's fun. If you want to go old school like I'm going to do with the Jim Rome podcast, it's a transition right there. Shakey's. Shakey's on Ventura Boulevard, yo. Mojo's. I mentioned Shakey's on Ventura Boulevard because that was Shakey's in Woodland Hills. I mentioned that because my guest on the Jim Rome podcast, episode 130, which is going to push out after the program, Brandon Boyd, frontman, lead singer for the band Incubus. And he went to Calabasas High School. We have a good deep dive on Calabasas. The thing I love about that conversation, we cover a lot of ground, and he is really, really thoughtful. He is awesome. Great guy. I'd never talked to him before. But he was really good about talking about where he grew up, how he grew up, the high school he went to. Like, I mean, I was geeked out about that, but I thought, you know, anybody else, and I knew he'd be different because he's a really different guy, but, and I knew, I thought it would be fine, but anybody else would be like, yeah, yeah, Rome, you and I went to the same school, great story, great angle. But he was really good about it. He's awesome because he's one of those guys that will answer a question by asking you a question, and he means it, and he cares. Oh, and he's a superstar, rock star, and art star. So really different conversation, which is why I have that side hustle. Brandon Boyd. Look at old man Ritt turning that. Good job, Ritt. Well done. I'm impressed that you got that, but more impressed that you smashed 6 tacos for lunch yesterday. Old man. Old man, you're not going to make it to your 80th birthday next year if this keeps up. 6? 4 were not enough? Hawk shaking his head with disdain. Speaking of Hawk, Adam. So the smack-off is upcoming. I've got 2 questions for you. Before I ask you how the clones can get further involved, what is the reaction to Jeff in Richmond? And not a call, but just a profile.
There's just a ton of it, more than anyone else, like usual, and it's right down the middle. They hate this guy or they love this guy. There's no middle ground. A lot of people are reminded of yesteryear when they hear him, and a lot of people just never, ever, ever want to hear him again and think that he makes the same call over and over again and that his whole shtick is tired and that he doesn't really say anything. It's just a whole bunch of filler for how awesome he is. I personally love it.
In other words, he's Mike Jordan.
Yeah.
Like there was that was like the Last Dance with Jeff in Richmond.
Yes.
But, go ahead, finish your thought.
But yeah, everyone either loves him or hates him. It's right down the middle. It's pretty fascinating to watch every time people hear this guy's voice.
Part of that is, it's funny what you said. Part of that's nostalgia. Part of that is old school jungle fans who remember him back in the day. They're like, yeah, this is cool, this is cool. And then the other side is, yeah, man, he never says anything other than what he always says. And to which I say, and? And?
It's part of the character.
It's not what he says, it's how he says it.
Exactly.
And whether or not he's going to show up that day. All right, so for those who cannot show up that day, what can they do between now and that day to be a part of that day?
So credit to Nate and Sharon from the TV side. They said, we want to get the clones involved the rest of the way for the Smack Off. So if anyone listening right now wants to get some free TV time, wants to see themselves on TV, you can send us a video of you essentially just kind of doing a promo for the Smack Off. It would be shot on your own cell phone. You would be, you know, calling your shot, who you think's going to win, where you're listening from, how long you've been listening, what you like about the Smack Off, who you hate that's in the Smack Off, whatever you want to do for 10 to 20 seconds, as long as it's Smack Off related, shoot that video, send it to smackoffvideos@gmail.com. That's smackoffvideos@gmail.com. Send it in, and if it's worthy of being put on television, we will use it as bump backs or bump outs for the month leading up to the Smack Off.
I love that. I love that the Suits, the people back in New York, are thinking about this. Really quickly, it's not your own personal Smack Off. Do not get on that phone for 5 minutes and try and send that to us, all right? You're a part of the process, but it's only, listen to what he just said, 10 to 20 seconds. What I'd love to hear from you is who you are, where you're from, how long you've been listening or watching, and then just give us a quick take, right? Who you like and why, or who you don't like and why.
Exactly, and where you're listening, who you're listening with, or where you're watching if you're checking it out on TV. Just make it fun and interesting and hype the event for 10 to 20 seconds. And here's what we don't want, and we have to say this to this audience, okay? We don't need any kind of nudity, and I say that whenever we talk about the Christmas cards too. So please don't send naked videos to us.
Do people?
Yes, they have, of course. The whole Toby and Houston thing becomes a constant recreation for the Christmas card. So we don't need any cranks being sent to our email. We also, you know, don't have drugs or alcohol in your video. It's pretty simple. This is CBS. It's a daytime television show. As much as you want to be holding a beer or failing to shotgun one like Cal in Vegas, just don't do it. You know, maybe get the cigarettes and the weed out of the shot as well. Inappropriate clothing. And it's just really simple. Just shoot yourself 10 to 20 seconds and send us the video. Smackoffvideos@gmail.com. And understand this is a television show on CBS that airs from 9 to noon.
Also, understand this. That's well stated by you. Understand this. We're not saying, like, don't come up in here and say, what about our constitutional rights? You can do all those things, but it's never going to see the light of day. Delete, 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 delete. If you would like to be on TV, if you would like to be a part of the program, if you want your video seen by anybody other than us, don't do those things. And you know what you should and shouldn't do. So keep that in mind. And once again, what is the address and when are we going to start bumping these things in?
Yeah, so send the videos to smackoffvideos@gmail.com. As soon as we have enough to start turning them around, which we anticipate we'll get right away because it's an awesome way to get free TV time, we will have them next week when we get back from Memorial. Is it Memorial? Memorial Day vacation? Yeah, we'll start rolling them.
I don't know. Like I said, this is not Wednesday or Thursday or Tuesday. It's just one super long day. It's all the same day. It's blur day. Right.
Yeah. And I couldn't remember which holiday it was coming up. But next week when we're back on Tuesday, we should have these videos bumping in and out.
So what's happening on Friday and Monday?
Bill Ryder will be in.
Love it. Is he going to be here in the studio?
Yes, he is.
My man. I like that. All right, Adam. Well done. So you know what to do, clones. All right. So it's not Pornhub. All right. It's the Jim Rome radio program on CBS Sports Network. Let's keep this clean. You know what to do and what you shouldn't do. Don't do. It's 10 or 20 seconds. And by the time you mention who you are, where you're from, how long you've been listening or watching, there isn't enough time to do anything that you shouldn't do. So don't do it. State who you are, where you're from, how long you've been listening, how you're going to watch the Smack Off, and who you like and why, or who you don't like and why. Send it to the address, and we will start bumping it through right here on the program. It's going to be a blast. It'll be fun. Man, there is nothing. If you're a talk show host, the last thing you want to do, I mean, you want to leave them wanting a little more. It is a little discouraging for me to end the program with every single line lit. But call back tomorrow. It is lit. I will be here tomorrow. Bill Ryder will be in studio on Friday and Monday. You want to be prepared for Memorial Day, correct? Pepto-Bismol has got you covered. Try new Pepto-Bismol Chews. They're a great tasting way to get the same fast relief you know and love from Pepto-Bismol, so you can enjoy all that grilling worry-free, use as directed, and keep out of the reach of kids. Listen, remember, episode 130 of the Jim Rome Podcast with Brandon Boyd, lead singer of the band Incubus. That's coming up. We're going to push that out probably in the next hour or so. So if you're subscribed, it will find you. If not, you want to find it. My thanks to Steve Clifford, PJ Fleck, Tim Layden. Three great interviews. some good calls. Good work by the XR4TI. I want to acknowledge the XR4TI, my entire crew, that has just been crushing it throughout the entire pandemic. Good job, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all for listening. You have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.